Welcome to the Disney Magic Podcast. I'm Joel.
And I'm Megan.
And we like to talk about Disney things. Specifically this week, we're going to talk about Bolt.
Yeah.
Which, I guess for the time being, is the last modern day-ish movie that Disney made.
Oh.
It's back to fairy tales and then Winnie the Pooh time. After this.
I guess so. I didn't think about it.
Whenever that technically is.
And after that will be Wreck-It Ralph, which is not specific either, probably. It comes out this Friday for those watching this in the future, so yeah. We don't know yet. It's a mystery.
We don't know. But yeah, Bolt came out November 21st, 2008, and it was the first Disney movie to be made in 3D.
Ah, okay.
So, like, the previous two were released in 3D,
yeah.
But were post-converted.
Afterthought 3D.
Because I feel like I've had to say first and then something about 3D or CGI in the past, like, several episodes.
Yep.
So, a lot of computer innovation going on right now.
Yes.
This was also the first movie, the first Disney movie, and I think it was the first movie ever to be released on Blu-ray before it was released on DVD.
Ooh.
So, I don't know why they weren't released on the same day, but for some reason the Blu-ray came out like 2 days before.
That is odd.
The DVD did. So, there's interesting Bolt factoid for you.
Interesting.
Yeah. So this is also another first, because this movie's full of firsts, apparently. First one with John Lasseter in charge, like from, you know, kind of more the beginning, because he kind of came on halfway through Meet the Robinsons. But
yeah,
this first one really under his caring hand. And that's really cool, except I was reading about the history, and this movie was originally developed by Chris Sanders, who was creator and co-director of Lilo and Stitch.
Yeah.
And it was created as American Dog, which was, like, you know, pretty basically the same thing. There's this dog, and he's on a TV show, he ends up in the desert, thinks he's on a TV show, and he's got, you know, these other animal friends that are going around with him. And so John Lasseter and, you know, several of the directors were, you know, they saw screenings and cuts and of development, and, you know, I don't know exactly what happened, but apparently Chris Sanders was, you know, somewhat resistant to these changes, and so he didn't direct this movie.
Okay.
He's replaced by Chris Williams and Ryan Howard, who were credited as the directors. And the next thing that Chris Sanders directed was How to Train Your Dragon, which is a great movie, but it's not a Disney film.
No.
So I don't know exactly what happened there, but it was awkward to read about.
Yeah.
So I can imagine how it was in the room.
Yeah.
So, but anyway, this is the Bolt that we got. Let's start up with Bolt.
Okay. So it starts out in the animal rescue.
Yes.
And there's a little dog, he's got a little carrot. And a little squeaky carrot that is not like an actual carrot.
No, it's chew toy.
And a girl named Penny comes in and takes him home.
Yeah.
And now is when my confusion starts, because looking back on it, I'm confused as to how, like, if that was on the show, or if it was real life.
I assumed it was real life, because I did.
I don't know.
I mean, Bolt is clearly Penny's dog.
Yeah.
And is named Bolt.
Yes, that is his actual name.
And his name on the show. So, I don't know if, like, the TV company got, like, a deal on, like, you know, free dog actor with every child actor. So they kind of just, like, we're sticking them together.
Yep.
Or, you know, and it's like, I don't know. I mean, this is one of the more ridiculous basic plot setups that we ever have to deal with. The dog
just
having to...
I really enjoyed that the lady from the network was there to be like, what? Because that's all I was feeling when they were setting up this plot. I was like, I'm sorry, the dog doesn't realize that it's not a superhero? That's what we're going with?
The dog has to, they have to trick the dog into method acting, basically. And so...
It's just like the weirdest premise.
And it's this, it's crazy, it totally works solely because of the director explaining it.
Also, this is the third little girl named Penny we've had who's interacted directly with animals and has about the same hair color, and it's driving me nuts. Like, can we not think of another name or, like, another look?
This one and Rescuers and...
Oliver and Company. Oliver. The little girl's name is Penny, and she looks exactly the same. They all look the same, and they're all named Penny. And they all have animals, and I
Do you think one of the animation people has a girl named Penny who kind of looks like that?
Someone who's been there since the Rescuers? That's a lot of a long time to work for Disney. I'm not sure. I don't know. I mean, I guess, like, I name a little redheaded girl Penny. Like, oh, it's cute because your hair is British. But, like...
I get it.
Couldn't someone, like, look back through the archives and be like, oh, we've done this twice already. Can we do something else?
I don't know. Maybe it was, like, meant to be an intentional reference or something, but, yeah, I don't know. That did not occur to me at all.
Yeah, it's weird.
You're totally right. So, Penny 3.
Penny. If there's one more Disney movie with a girl named Penny who looks like the other ones, I'm going to punch something. Like, this is just dumb, Disney. Oh, so silly.
Well, basically, the movie opens up with this 10-minute action sequence. Like, it's really long.
It's a
really, really good action sequence.
It also looks a lot like action movies. Like, it looks really realistic to the sort of, like, kid marketed action movies.
Yeah.
That they make this, generally. It reminds me of Spy Kids a lot.
Yeah. This, by the way, this would be a very expensive TV show.
Oh my
There's
goodness.
So many explosions.
I thought it was a movie sets. Until they started talking about the network, and then I was like, oh my goodness. You people have all the money in the world. Especially when she's like, if your rating drops at all, your show is pulled. I'm like, couldn't you just, like, pull some of their budget first? Seems a little extreme.
Yeah, I guess with a budget like that, you have to have everybody in the world watching your TV show.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, this one guy in Tallahassee's not in. Nope, you know, TV show for you.
Nope.
Too expensive.
There's a big chase scene. She's on a scooter, and that's weird. And she's voiced by Miley Cyrus, and that's extremely distracting.
I'm totally okay with that, except when I can't physically see Penny's face and her mouth moving.
And then you have complete disconnect.
It's totally Miley
really
Cyrus's
distracting
voice.
To me. Like, a lot.
So, yeah.
Thankfully, she's not actually even in this movie very much, to be honest. She's in the beginning and the end, and that's about it. A little bit in between.
Yeah. I mean, she's in there because she's Miley Cyrus.
Basically.
And actually, Miley Cyrus was not first choice to be in here.
Oh, really? Who was?
Oh, I'm going to mess her name up. Chloe Grace Moretz, the hit girl, and...
Oh.
She's the
oh, she
sister
would have been
in 500 Days of Summer.
Yeah.
She's going to be in the new Carrie movie. And she basically voiced the entire film, and then they had Miley do it. So,
oh, that's awful.
Isn't it?
That's so not nice.
So, I feel really bad about that one, too.
She would have been a really good choice.
I really like this movie, but, like, learning things about it invoked really upsetting feelings.
Never mind, Bolt.
Not people who've been ousted from Bolt.
Yep.
But, so we get basically the explanation, which is the total setup of the plot, is that this TV show works in the director's mind because the dog believes he actually has all these superpowers.
Like, They won't even let her take her dog home. She has to leave him on set because the dog needs to retain its naivety. I don't understand.
Yeah. The thing is, like, it happens because, like, there's a boom mic in frame. Like,
yeah.
The dog could have seen the boom mic. I'm like, the dog would understand what a boom mic is. That's what's going to happen here with the dog.
Yep.
So the director is voiced by James Lipton, like inside the actor studio, James Lipton.
Yeah.
And I'm going to say his best performance ever.
Yep.
Because he's been in like this and he was on Arrested Development and a couple of other like small parts, but.
Best performance. Crazy director.
He totally is committed to this is how this dog needs to work.
So weird.
And so, but yeah. So this is a really sad movie a lot.
It is a really depressing movie.
Whenever Bolt looks sad, I feel sad.
It's true. They animated that dog really, really well. But as such, it just makes you sad all the time.
No, this is like, this dog is textbook. How to make a cute cartoon character.
He's so cute.
Like, he has a giant head and giant eyes.
And then big ears.
And,
like,
and it doesn't make sense, like, you know, when, because he'll like, sit beside Penny and his head will be the size of, like, the top half of her body.
A watermelon. Yeah, it's huge. It looks really weird.
This dog should fall over.
It looks fine with other animals, but when he's next to people, it's like, oh. What is happening with this freak dog?
Such a large
I don't understand.
Bolt. So, but yeah, so the first thing with Bolt being sad is he has to stay in the trailer.
It's so sad. Everything's sad. Dog is sad.
Yep, this is sad. And then the cats come and make fun of him.
I love the cats. The cats make me laugh.
I don't understand why the cats don't need to maintain realism.
I think they just do it because they think it's funny. But I don't know.
I mean, how do the cats know
they're
cats?
I don't know.
Who's letting those cats roam free on the set? It's never good animal control on
your set. I think they got out of their cages. Because when they went back to their cages, they, like, pulled them closed by themselves. So.
Yeah. Maybe.
Maybe.
I don't know. Yeah, the plot point is that the show is either dipping in ratings, or more likely it needs to have a lot really good ratings to justify this enormous budget.
Yeah.
Because, by the way, because Bolt has to believe it, they can only do everything in one take. So, to set this up, to one take all of this is ridiculous.
It just, what bothered me about the scene with the director mostly was that everything looked edited already. They had, just shot it, and everything was edited, and I was like, what? I don't understand. Wouldn't you just shoot all of these at once and then put them together? Wouldn't that be easier?
They actually do a really cool scene where, like, it shows them having basically placed all the cameras where they need to go.
Yeah.
And the director's acting like someone who would be directing a live show, like, you know, Saturday Night Live, or, like, the Oscars or something live with the, you know, this camera and this camera. So this is actually probably a really easy show to edit.
I suppose so.
All things considered.
Yep.
Maybe that's what they save is on their editing budget.
Maybe.
So, to entice more audience members, they do a cliffhanger where Penny is captured and the show ends. And this traumatizes Bolt.
Yep. He's really upset. But he manages to get out of his trailer. And, wanders around the back lot for a while and doesn't seem to be super disturbed by this, so okay. And he ends up in a box.
Yeah.
Being shipped to New York City. It takes a while to ship stuff to New York City. And, what are they shipping to New York City? And why did that guy not check to make sure that there was actually something in the box? And
packing peanuts.
Didn't anybody notice that the box was moving? And there's so many problems with this plot point. Oh, it bothers me. It does remind me of Garfield threatening to ship Nermal to Abu Dhabi, though, so that makes me happy.
That's the dumbest connection.
Thanks. I try.
Yeah, it would take, because it's clearly on a some sort of land vehicle. So
yeah,
definitely take, you know, upwards of 3 days to get this dog to.
And then you open up your box and you find a dead dog. So that would be happy. So he gets shipped to New York City and yes. escapes again.
Yes.
There's a lot of escaping in this movie.
There's a lot of escaping. It's a pretty action movie. It's either stuff action happening or sad.
Yep, basically.
So
he meets some other animals. He meets some dogs first, and he's like super confused by their behavior. and
which means he's never, since that pound moment, he's never interacted with dogs. Never ever. It's poor Bones.
It's sad.
Yeah.
And
I do really like the pigeons.
I love all of the pigeons. There are so many pigeons in this movie, and they're all like the same tropes. Yeah. Well, they're all the same characters with mildly different tropes, I guess.
They're the tropes, depending on what city they're in.
Yeah, these guys are the fast-talking New Yorker pigeons.
They're the good feathers.
The mafia pigeons. Yes. I love the good feathers. That's one of my favorite parts of Animaniacs, is the good feathers.
They're totally good feathers. And I saw that, I was like, yeah.
Yeah.
Although I do really like about this part is Bolt gets his head stuck in a fence. And I'm like, he totally would get his head stuck in a fence. That head is so large.
Yep.
That's exactly what needs to happen.
So he
meets Mittens.
Yeah. I don't... What was the context of Mittens?
He needed a cat because all cats are evil.
Right. He was going to use a cat to get to the green-eyed man.
Yes.
Who's the evil
guy
villain.
On the show.
Yeah.
And has a cat.
Yes. So, and all cats are evil. So they introduce him to Mittens because Mittens is the mafia cat who pressures all the pigeons into giving her food so she doesn't have to go get it herself. Which I find ingenious. Good job, Mittens.
Good job, Mittens.
And
so Bolt bullies Mittens into trying to, and poor Mittens is so confused.
Yep.
Thoroughly and continuously through this whole movie. For a long time, just because, you know, until later in the movie, where she gets context of, oh, Bolt thinks he's a TV character. Like, this just has to be the most crazy and upsetting day for Mittens. Just to be like, this dog is trying to do all kinds of crazy things.
Yep.
Including trying to drop Mittens off of a bridge.
Yeah, that was a little terrifying.
Yep.
She makes up some lie about how she'll get him to California, which is where he's trying to go.
And he says Penny the whole time. So, I guess it's coincidence that Mittens just pointed as far away from New York as possible.
I never quite got how they figured out New York.
Like, he's like, get over here at the other end of the map. And that just, that's where Hollywood is. So, that worked out nicely. And so, they basically climb into a U-Haul. And the guy in the U-Haul is wearing a University of Southern California t-shirt.
So they are, in fact, going to California. Yeah.
Yeah. So this would be, like, a really great U-Haul to stick with. But they don't. Because styrofoam peanuts. And I really like the styrofoam peanuts rationale.
I love the evil styrofoam plot point. It makes me laugh a lot.
Like, it's not a crazy leap of logic for Bolt to have.
No.
And it's something that in cross-country stuff, he can easily interact with a lot of it.
Yep.
So, like, it's pretty ingenious to do this styrofoam makes him lose his powers thing.
Yep.
So, well done on that. Well done on that front.
Yep.
But basically, in this whole styrofoam peanut Mittens with the bat kerfuffle, they land in a trailer or a RV camping ground.
Yep.
And Bolt has to learn how to beg for food.
I really liked this scene. Just because he makes all sorts of cute faces, and that is totally just an excuse for that.
Yes.
And that makes me happy.
It's look what we can animate on this dog. Although then Mittens tried to beg, And that made me laugh.
Oh, poor Mittens. So,
this is where we meet Rhino.
Yes. Rhino the hamster.
Rhino the hamster.
In his little hamster ball. He knows who Bolt is, but he doesn't realize the TV is fake.
No.
So he's just really excited to meet him. I liked Rhino a lot more than I thought I would. I'd never seen this movie before this watching. And in the commercials, he came off as really obnoxious, but in the movie, he was just pretty funny. So,
Rhino, yeah. I mean, on the sidekick ladder of, like, the genie and the rug and Mushu.
Yeah.
Like, Rhino is not in the top tiers, but he could have been worse.
He could have been so much worse. Most of his little jokes were pretty funny, and he mostly stayed out of the way.
Yeah, no, that's the thing, is, like, he's a fine character, but, like, you can see the building blocks for something terrible.
Something awful. But
he does, he comes off as a lot more harmless and
less awful. Less horrendous.
So, well done sparing use of Rhino.
Yes. They're leaving, and they decide to jump on a train. Like, jump on the top of a train. Yeah. And this whole mess happens, in which I just have to question the well-constructedness of this train. Like,
this train is falling apart.
Everything falls apart. And I'm like, train, are you okay? train, do you need some help? Can I help you with that train?
No. Yeah, that's going to be so disappointing for, like, to get into station. Be like, oh, we don't have half the train.
Where did train go?
Like, that engineer's gonna get fired. You're right.
Yep.
There's another sad behind the scenes moment in Bolt.
Yep.
Unknown train conductor is gone. This is pretty much where Mittens figures out, learns through enough context clues that Bolt is on a TV show.
Yes.
And that he's thinks that he's really super, super dog. And then they get thrown in the pound.
Yep.
Which is sad. And there's just one part where I really like it. Bolt has laser vision on the show. So I really like, and it happens a couple times in the movie, where Bolt stares really, really hard at something.
Trying to laser vision something. Or heat vision. He has heat vision as well.
And the look on Bolt's face when attempted heat vision happens is the silliest look.
It's so, so delightful. We get a shot of Penny at home at this point, actually.
Yeah.
Where she's, like, Xeroxing copies of, like, a lost dog poster, basically. And her terrible agent basically tells her to stop looking for her dog. And, like, the network lady, like, agrees, basically. And I liked when she said that, you know, like, people have families to support and they need to be working so we can pay them and stuff. But, like, there's a big difference between please carry on with filming and your dog is gone forever, too bad. Like,
yeah.
I just felt like that was really awkwardly done.
I really liked the studio lady because yes. She's just like, and clearly the agent,
she's so
the,
no the nonsense.
Snarmy bad guy. Like, she was, you know, the studio lead is very much like, you know, here's what happens. And there's this really nice line about having, it's terrible to make a little girl make a grown-up decision, but this is what has to happen, which is really kind of nice. But then there's this really symbolic, like, moment where Penny stops the copying and, like, you know, shuts down the copying. I'm like, you can still hang up those signs, can't you?
Yeah.
I don't know why you have to stop looking. So, I don't know. They do get a fake Bolt, who is pretty adorable, too.
Fake Bolt is adorable.
So, yeah. Then back to the pound.
Yep.
So, basically, the Mittens and Bolt have been put into the pound.
Wait, Bolt's not in the pound.
No, that's not right at all.
Rhino gets Bolt out.
Yeah.
By flinging himself. It's tough.
Yeah, Bolt's not in the pound because the guy was out of gas. In fact, he was so far out of gas that Arrow was like 3 feet below the E.
Yeah, seriously. That was weird.
And the guy was like, huh. And turns it out, I was like, this is so irresponsible, Mr. Animal Control guy.
Yeah.
But then Rhino sneaks out and saves Bolt. But then they have to go and save Mittens. So they have to get into the pound. And there's this really sad moment. And this is the saddest moment of this whole movie.
Yep.
Where they're having to distract the guard. And so they distract the guard with Rhino running into the town place.
Ball.
And all these dogs are like,
ball.
Which, of course, the guard here is just barking. And the guard is sitting there, he's like, but I was reading!
Poor guard. I know that feeling.
And you know how many times in my life I've gone, but I was reading!
A million.
And I felt, in this one moment, such a strong connection
to that one-line character.
Yeah.
Well, actually, I guess he has two lines, because he also howls in pain when he gets
maced
pepper sprayed. Yeah.
Which sucks, but he was reading.
He was reading. All he was doing was reading, and then the dogs freaked out. And then everything terrible happens. They get Mittens out, and there's this, like, chase scene in the pound, and then I didn't quite understand what happened, but there was a giant explosion.
Yes.
And I was like, okay, I'm just gonna go with it.
Which, you know, makes sense, because they're making an action movie, basically.
Yep.
This whole in-between fairy tales sequence.
Yep.
That was the most of 2000s. Just Disney really wanted to make action movies. Action movies and space movies.
Yep.
So lots of those, and so this is their action movie.
And then they catch a ride on one of those like
a house truck.
House thing. What are those are like
it's a portable home?
No,
or?
It's not even that. It's like a there's another term for it where there's like a house that comes in like basic pieces and they assemble it on site.
Yeah.
But I can't remember the term right now. I remember it 5 minutes after we stopped recording the podcast, so that's good.
I wrote house truck.
Modular?
In my notes.
Maybe modular? I don't know. One of those, you know, when you see like half a house going down on a truck on the highway, one of those. So they learn house things. They have to teach both house things.
Yep. Although I was watching, I was like, you guys need to just stay in this house truck. This is like
I know,
literally
right?
The best possible option for going across the country. And so, and then we get this homeward bound montage.
It's nice.
So, it's really nice.
I like this song pretty well, actually, which is kind of surprising because I'm not big on country music. But I liked this song, but the lyrics seemed oddly romantic. And I was like, are you trying to set up the dog and cat as a couple? Is that what you're trying to do? Because that's weird. I don't think that's no.
I thought that at the time, but then at the end when there's like this little callback to it, it's the same words but not romantic.
Yeah.
So like I was like, well, that payoff is it makes it more acceptable.
Yeah, a little bit.
But no, I totally get what you're saying. So I really like this montage, but Homeward Bound all the way.
Yep.
And then we get sad.
Sad scene is sad.
When they were, I guess they were in Las Vegas for this scene.
They got to Vegas.
Because they're in Vegas and they hadn't left. So I guess this scene takes place in Vegas.
Yeah.
Where Mittens has built this little condo for them to live in. And Bolt can't stay because he has to get back to Penny.
Yep.
And Mittens says, nah, she's an actor. She doesn't really like you. You'd stay here. Sad times. Everybody's sad.
Yep.
So, this, and then there's a lot of reveal of Mittens, which is really, really well done.
Yeah, it is.
And, like, And this is just, really, this goes throughout the whole movie. The characters are so complete.
Yeah.
And I, as the best way to say it, I think, there's just, there's really, they feel very full, very three-dimensional characters. There's very emotion, this, like, yeah, this emotional center to each of these characters. And mostly just these two, actually, and Penny.
Yeah, okay, so three.
Not so much the pigeons and whatnot.
I think there's an emotional center to the pigeons.
Or the guys carrying the couch that was heavy.
Oh, it's true.
So, but Bolt and Mittens especially, it doesn't feel over the top. It feels like it's revealed very slowly throughout the movie. It kind of trusts you to be able to figure some stuff out on your own.
Yep.
And so, it was really good character development in this movie. I think that's my favorite part of this movie, is just the character development over throughout the course of the movie for specifically Mittens and for Bolt.
Yep.
It was so good.
It was good.
To Hollywood.
Yes, to L.A.
Yes, and then we meet the L.A. pigeons.
I love the L.A. pigeons, because the L.A. pigeons want to make an episode about aliens. And it's just so well pitched. It's beautiful.
I do love the L.A. pigeons, and I love that we had the New York pigeons.
Yep.
So that it can set up for like the L.A. pigeons. Yeah.
I really liked the pigeons. The pigeons were a good choice.
Yeah.
And
they acted like pigeons. Like
they did.
If a pigeon could pitch a TV show, this is how it would sound. I know that makes no sense.
But it's true.
For serious. This is how a pigeon would pitch a TV show.
And so they take him to the back lot, and Mittens and Rhino show up.
Yeah.
Rhino tries to defeat a guard and does it very poorly because the guard is like a normal human being and picks him up and is like, oh my god, it's so cute. Perfect.
Rhino, by the way, back in L.A., Rhino and Mittens, Rhino had been like, oh, you gotta follow the hero even when it doesn't want you to. And so, because he's still all about the TV show.
Yep.
And that inspired Mittens to take the rest of the journey.
Yep.
Across, like, a state, basically.
Yeah, yeah.
So, they actually weren't that close. Like, compared to they started in New York.
Yeah.
Las Vegas is pretty close, but they had a ways to go.
Yeah. So, then there's the inevitable sad moment that I knew was coming, but I still didn't want it to happen. Because it was sad.
Bolt sees fake Bolt.
Yeah, Bolt sees fake Bolt and Penny, and they're rehearsing a scene, and so she has to say all the things that she used to say to Bolt to the dog, and he doesn't realize what's going on, and then he's all sad, so he leaves, and Mittens sees this whole exchange, conveniently.
Yeah. Yeah, this was sad. I like, the first time I saw it, I was like...
you were like, what?
That's the sound of a kid in a college dorm with other kids watching Bones
on his
computer, trying not to cry.
Oh, that's funny. Penny goes to do a scene where she's like rigged up, and the dog freaks out. The fake Bolt freaks out and knocks over some torches.
Here's the thing. How long did this montage back to from New York?
No idea.
How long did that take? That fake Bolt is like still not scared of these evil guys.
Yeah,
look the exact same. And
I'm curious if the show took a break because Bolt was gone.
Maybe.
I don't know.
But even then, like, they were still like maybe at the train when they were like, "Let's bring on fake Bolt." And, like, why didn't they get another trained dog?
I don't know. It's odd.
So.
Yeah. But warehouse catches on fire.
Fire. Basically. That's the important thing. Fire happens.
Wouldn't there be sprinklers in this sort of setting?
Yes.
Okay.
There would be.
Just checking. Because that's immediately what I thought. I was like, okay, the sprinklers will come on. Everything will... No? No, the little girl's gonna die? Okay. If that's what you're going with.
Yeah. for all the things that are fire code, for everything about fire code, yeah, there should have been like 90 thousand sprinklers.
Thousand.
The Aquaman TV show
g-thousand
on the next lot over
is my favorite number, by the way. Yeah, that was weird. In the meanwhile, Mittens gives Bolt a pep talk, and then Bolt hears Penny screaming, because that's what heroes are doing on a regular basis.
Everybody escapes but the Star.
Basically. And nobody seems to care. Like, Hermione's properly freaking out, and everybody's like, whatever.
By the way, maybe the best stage mom in the history of film.
She's so nice. I felt so bad for her.
It's such a, like, a evil stereotype role as the stage mom living vicariously through the child. I'm like, this stage mom is so understanding.
She just wanted her daughter to be happy, and that was all that she cared about. And I was like, stage mom. So he runs into the burning building, of course.
Yes.
And
he finds Penny.
Finds Penny, but they can't get out.
And this is the other moment. Like, this very specific, like, reunite moment. When Penny was like, come back. Oh, now it's good. Same noise all over again. Tears were just everywhere.
Penny, like, passes out. And Bolt wakes up enough to bark into the vent system.
Yeah.
Which was nodded too nicely previously when Rhino was screaming into the vents in the house thing.
They have done a really good job throughout this movie, like, having stuff happen, like, throwaway joke style and then come back. Like, the vents and, like, the styrofoam.
Yeah.
Like, and the way Bolt gets out in the first place is because the cats were trying to make fun of him.
Right.
Through the vent, through the skylight, which is, you know, a joke earlier in the movie.
Yep.
So, well done foreshadowing all around.
Yeah, seriously. he does his super bark into the vent, and they come and find him.
Yes.
And then Penny's rescued, and Bolt's rescued, and the agent is a dumbass, and they kick him out of the, ambulance, and they quit.
I did really actually like this agent character.
He was obnoxious, but properly obnoxious.
Yeah. I mean, I guess he's the closest thing to a villain in this movie.
Yeah.
But he told silly stories. I just mostly liked him telling his stories.
Yep.
That felt so made up on the spot.
It's true.
About the time he rode his bike, his by, he baseball
glove. He rode his catcher's mitt to school every day.
To school. Every day. True story.
So then we get some of the replacement Bolt TV show, in which they have gone the facial reconstruction plotline route, which I thought was really funny and very, very well done.
Yeah.
And then there's aliens. Perfect.
I hope the pigeons got writing credit on that.
I know, right? If they didn't, I would sue. They all live out in the country somewhere. With Penny and her mom.
The montage song was a country song.
Yep. And
so that's where you're going to live.
That's how you do that. And there's some country pigeons.
Yep.
Which made me laugh. And that's about it.
That's it. I really like the credits, though.
The credit animation is so cute. So cute.
Oh, man. And the thing is, you know, this movie came out the same year WALL-E came out. So apparently, all of Disney got together and was like, let's make adorable post-movie, tell them what comes next credits.
So cute!
It's the exact same idea. It's just like, here's stuff that happened after the movie in little tiny adorable cartoon form.
Yep.
And so, no, it was really good. Except, it did have Penny getting off of the school bus, and I was really curious if Penny goes to public school now.
Because that
everybody's
would suck.
Like, you were on the TV show. That was really expensive. So
I don't know.
I don't know what Penny's deal with the is. I'm blanking on the word school, apparently.
School.
So, and then we get, and credits are Miley Cyrus and John Travolta singing.
Yep.
Which, I all things considered, it's got to be really cool to sing a song with John Travolta.
That's true. I didn't really like this song, but if someone was like, hey, you want to sing with John Travolta? I wouldn't be like, no. I'd be like, yes, he absolutely is John Travolta. Okay, thanks.
This is going to be the most crazy tangent, like, tentatively tied into Disney thing ever, but I was reading a thing where Zac Efron was talking about getting to sing with John Travolta just being in Hairspray. And he's like, oh man, John Travolta, just to get to, like, you know, because of John Travolta. Oh, that reminds me. Going back to the very beginning of this movie.
Yes.
In the shot where they were, you know, in the opening sequence, ends up being part of the TV show. Penny and Bolt are hiding behind magazines.
Uh-huh.
And Penny has a Tiger Beat magazine, which uh-huh. I'm like 99% sure has the High School Musical kids on it.
Does it really? I didn't
like,
notice.
In crazy over the top CGI animation.
Yeah.
And then Bolt's reading some sort of dog magazine, which is really funny.
Yep.
So, Dog Fancy, that's what it's called. So, but I had to pause it and try and figure it out. I was like, that's High School Musical right there. She's reading about the High School Musical kids. So, but anyway, that was Bolt.
Bolt. Yep.
Which, did you like it? Last one you haven't seen, right?
Yeah. I did enjoy it.
Sad, right?
It was sad. The plot was well constructed, if a little strange. Like, halfway through, though, I was just totally going with it. Like,
yeah, that's the thing.
The plot was not well constructed. I should say the plot was well embellished. Because after a while, I was just like, yep, okay.
No, if you can get past, like, the basic setup, it does the basic setup really, really well.
Yeah.
It's a silly basic setup.
Really dumb, but yeah.
But it does such a good job at it. It's not that funny of a movie.
No. There wasn't as humorous as a lot of them.
Yeah.
There's a lot of, like, funny bits, but it's not, I wouldn't call it a comedy.
Like, Bolt, except for, like, his little styrofoam reaction and his laser vision, doesn't do anything funny. Like, all the funny is left to Rhino, and it's kept at a minimum there, too.
And pigeons.
Oh, and pigeons. The pigeons were funny. The pigeons were very funny. And so it's one of, like, the more emotional movies, like,
yeah,
since, like, maybe Fox and the Hound kind of thing.
Okay, it's not that bad.
Not that level of, but, like, between Fox and the Hound and this one, that the whole span of time, there's not, it feels like, you know, this is the first one in a long time where, you know, the humor has taken a backseat to the more emotional storytelling aspect of the movie.
Yeah.
And, like, not to say that some of the middle ones didn't have emotional storytelling, because, you know, Beauty and the Beast was in there, and Meet the Robinsons was in there, and Lion King was in there, and Mufasa died in Lion King.
That's true.
But, like, to really develop characters. So I do really, really like this one for that.
Yes.
And it's How to Animate a Dog 101.
Yes.
Oh, man.
It's true.
That dog. So next time, we go back to 2D animation. Which, you know, was never going to happen again for Princess and the Frog.
Yay.
Which Megan likes, apparently.
I love that movie. I'm excited to watch it again. I haven't seen it in, like, maybe a couple of months. So that's a while for one of my favorite movies.
Yeah, I've only seen this movie once.
Yeah?
It wasn't even in theaters. I was so excited in the lead up to this movie, and then just kind of like, bloop, bloop.
Well then.
Not against the movie. I like the movie a lot, but it ended up bloop, blooping. On off. But I'll watch it for a second time.
Yes.
All right. Until next time. Bye, guys.
Bye, everybody.